Hi, this is Chris from Crossroads Paranormal Radio. Tune in to Mike and I every Sunday night at 10 Eastern, live on Blog Talk Radio. Join us at www.cprshow.com as we discuss various paranormal topics and interview members of the paranormal community. Crossroads Paranormal Radio, breathing life into the paranormal community.
Baby been zombified. Baby been zombified.
Zombified. Zombified. My baby been zombified. 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 My baby been zombified. She answers all my questions with a yes or a no. She started wearing all them ugly brown clothes.
Feel like there's something happening in your home or business? Something you can't explain? Do you think that whatever is happening seems to be paranormal? Do they exist? Florida Ghost Hunters at FloridaGhostHunters.com are looking for haunted locations throughout Central Florida. Let the team at Florida Ghost Hunters investigate your paranormal experience. Their mission is to disprove a haunting with science, to find a reasonable explanation to a problem, and whatever is left becomes evidence. FloridaGhostHunters.com. If you've experienced paranormal activity in your home or business, you are urged to visit FloridaGhostHunters.com and click Need Help. FloridaGhostHunters.com.
Macbeth is an unholy riddle which still has a taint name from fear of retribution. Macbeth is to the theater world what King Tut's tomb is to archaeologists. The superstition follows that any company performing the play will be beset with horrible luck, ranging anywhere from uncanny accidents on the set to actual deaths within the company. 13 Omens Podcast is available at myspace.com/13_omens. Look for the link in the About Me section.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
What happens when you cross a brash New York comedian with a self-help guru and a master hypnotist? Well, you get a wild night of metaphysical mayhem that is sure to have you laughing till it hurts, as well as learning a little about the power of the subconscious mind. Ghostly Talk is very, very pleased to welcome Rich. Is it
Gussie? Gussie. I think you pronounced it right, Rich.
That's cool. That's good.
That works out well for me. Whose website is www.psychohypnosis.com. Welcome to Ghostly Talk, Rich.
Good evening, Rich.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You've been here in Michigan. How long have you been here? You've been here all week, haven't you?
Yes, it's been going fantastic. The people here have just opened up their arms to me, and I'm very happy to be here performing.
Oh, yeah.
And doing a lot of self-help stuff, taking care of a lot of people, and things are going very well.
Yeah, you're actually down at Wise Guys tonight in Novi. You got a show at 8 p.m. Eastern time, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, actually, I'm sitting in front of the club right now, getting ready. There's a line out the door. It's pretty cool. It's sold out in actually in one day it was gone, and that the people just really taken to this stuff really, really well.
Well, I think I have to mention these guys on the air because it goes without saying. See, how I met Rich, actually, and I got to tell this story like really fast. How I met Rich was Wednesday night of this past week. Well, this week, I was just kind of surfing around the web, and I usually do my weekly Drew and Mike website visit to see what's going on when I get a chance to listen to their show. And they're a local show here in Detroit for people out there all over the world that listen to our show. I'll say it right here on the air. They're kind of my inspiration for going into radio. I actually told their producer that, and he's like, really? So it was really exciting to go down there.
They really do a great job.
God, these guys were. They've been broadcasting here in Detroit for like 17 years now, right? So I saw this one of the announcements on their site that said, hey, if you want to be hypnotized on Thursday, email us. So, of course, I send like email, trying to get in there, right? So, sure enough, the producer, Mike, emailed me back and said, hey, yeah, come on down. I'll be down here at like 7:45 Thursday morning, and, you can hang out and stuff like that. Well, unfortunately, I didn't get to get hypnotized, but I got to meet this gentleman we have on the phone who we're talking to right now, Rich, who's a very cool guy, and we got to jam. We got to talking and stuff like that. I'm like, hey, I do this paranormal talk show. Would you like to come on? He's like, yeah, I'd love to come on. So we kind of worked it out, and that's why Rich is here. I had to tell this story because it was just kind of like one of these things that just happened at the last minute. I'm like, we got to get you on because, he's so cool, first of all. And I kind of want, if you don't mind, Rich, if you don't mind, tell us, you do this show, right? And Doug already said, you're a comedian, but you're also, you're a hypnotist also. So, what is your show? How does the show run? I mean, is it completely out of control? What goes on during the show?
Well, basically, I use the show as a demonstration. People want to come see, their friends go up on stage and do all this wacky stuff. I bring people from the audience on stage, I hypnotize them, and then, obviously make it funny by making them do all these crazy scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the show is really a demonstration of what you can do, because it takes a very deep level of hypnosis to get the people on stage to do all the stuff they do. Of course, you have to be able to hallucinate, you forget about everything, and they wake up 2 hours later not remembering what they did.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a very deep level of hypnosis, to get them to do all that stuff. But actually, it takes very light level hypnosis to do therapeutic work. Smoking, weight loss, stress, fears and phobias, that type of stuff. So I show them that if I can get them to do this part over here on the show, then it's very easy where I can help them make their life exactly what they wanted to do. And that's what the real objective for me is. Because I have this new website, discoverthepower.net. I try to show people that that they can have anything in their life, and they can attract it into their life by manifesting it, just by using the subconscious mind to basically, hypnotize yourself, and that way you draw up the people and circumstances necessary to accomplish all those things you want.
Well, you know, one thing that happened Thursday morning on the Drew and Mike show, one of the young ladies that you hypnotized, I thought this was really interesting because I was standing there watching this happen, and she was obviously under hypnosis, and one of the things you did is you were able to convince her that the number 7, okay, the number 7,
right.
A very well-known number.
I've heard of the number 7, yeah.
Well, very popular number?
Yeah, very popular number, right? You were able to convince her that the number 7 did not exist, okay?
Right.
And I'm telling, you know, the other host of this show right now this, too. He was able to convince them that the number 7 did not exist. And how that was displayed was that, you know, after you convinced her of this, you told her, you went, I don't know how what the term would be to, you convinced her of this, I'll just say that, that, you know, okay, 4 plus 3, and she'd be like, I don't know. Okay, 5 plus 2, I don't know. And then like, Drew, for example, said, okay, what's 3 plus 3? And she's like, 6. Okay, what's, you know, 4 plus 1, 5. Okay, what's 4 plus 3? I don't know, right?
Exactly.
I mean, my question for you on that, Rich, and I mean, this, I don't even know how to even, if you could even explain this. What goes into that? I mean, what's the mechanics of this happening where you can actually do that? I mean, you put her under hypnosis.
Right.
What are you telling? I mean, I don't even know how the communication would work on this, because, I mean, I don't know how hypnosis works. I want to learn from you.
Okay.
What do you tell her?
Well, basically, this is the way it works. This is the actual physical, mechanical action that takes place. And one of the items you can do with hypnosis.
Okay.
The subconscious mind is turned on, you know, by putting somebody into hypnosis. So you've heard this, the statement, you know, you only use 10% of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you only use 10% of your conscious mind. You use 100% of your subconscious mind. And that's where the real power comes in. It's very, very powerful. And the subconscious mind is like a giant filing cabinet. It'll store away every last bit of information from the time you were born until now.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if you were on vacation, you know, when you were a kid and your dad said, hey, look at that billboard on the side there, and you read the billboard, you have long since consciously forgotten it, but subconsciously it's still stored away. I could put you into hypnosis and you can read that billboard exactly the way it was.
But
the information is still in there. So basically, with the, you know, this number 7, for example, basically all I would do is go into the subconscious mind, remove the file, so now the file is hidden away, you can't see it anymore. And now this number 7 is now gone. She doesn't realize number 7 even exists anymore.
Oh my!
And that's what I would do. And that's what I would do to get somebody to quit smoking. You know, nobody was born smoking. You know, something triggered you to start smoking, 13, 14, 15 years old, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is now, erroneously, you know, your mind starts, you know, playing tricks on you by associating pleasurable experiences with the habit of smoking. For example, you just had a cup of coffee, you're having a cigarette. You know, you just had great sex, you're having a cigarette. You had a great meal, you're having a cigarette. All of a sudden, like, you know, you're on break, you know, you see that means you're not working, you're having a relaxing, you're having a cigarette. Or, you know, all of a sudden your friend says, oh, man, you know, the friend gets you really agitated, you're really mad, and like, I can't believe they did this to me. All of a sudden, like, you call back, you know what, I'm going to calm down, you have a cigarette. Now it becomes like, oh, you're my only friend, cigarette. It becomes like a trusted friend.
Mm-hmm.
So you've associated all these pleasurable experiences with the habit of smoking, even though when the first time you smoked, it made you choke and cough and you almost died.
Oh, yeah.
So what happens is I go into the file cabinet, I rearrange the files, and make the files say, hey, remember the first time you smoked a cigarette? That's the way it really is. It's not the erroneous files that you have next to each other, like the cigarette and the coffee, or the cigarette and the sex, or the cigarette and your best friend. All that stuff is now gone. I remove the files, change them around, all of a sudden the person can't smoke anymore.
Oh, my goodness. You know, wow. It kind of reminds...
Well,
go ahead,
Doug. I really like any conversation that has sex in it, but what I'm wondering... what I'm wondering is about hypnosis as it pertains to the paranormal, and one huge use of hypnosis in the paranormal that I can think of that I've heard from previous guests and everything, and I wonder if you've ever run into this, is somebody who perhaps had a traumatic experience such as being abducted by a UFO.
Oh, yeah.
And being able to remember that or to talk about it or has that ever been at the source of anybody's fears? Have you run into any people like that?
Yes, actually, I've had people go back in time to a past life. Because I do like, you know, I make them...
You are the only participant in this conference. Press any key to continue this conference.
We're having a bit of an issue. Kill that.
You still there, Rich?
Yes, I'm here.
Sorry about that. Something happened.
Press any key to continue this conference.
All right, we'll take care of that real quick here. Let's see here.
That's a good
The conference
key.
Will now continue.
Oh, I like that. I think we've got to get that.
I think he hypnotized our
that.
Conference line.
I think, yeah, I think you do that, because we've never had that happen before, Rich.
I'll tell you, I'm extremely rough on electronic instruments. I send out like some type of electrical current or charge or something, and I'm real tough on people's electronics. I'm sorry about that.
No, no problem.
It's never been empty before. But
you were saying before. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I can make people's lights flicker. It's pretty weird with stuff that happens.
Sorry,
anyway,
we interrupted you on that.
During my show, I do a thing where I turn them, back in time, and I can make them, 5 years old, 3 years old, make them like little babies. And then what I'll do is sometimes I'll drag them back into so far back that they're now in a past life experience. And, you have them speak in different languages. I had a guy one time, it turns out he was a soldier, back in World War II, but he was a German soldier. So this guy was speaking German.
Okay.
So when he came out of hypnosis, turns out he doesn't really speak German, but meanwhile he's speaking German, under hypnosis. So, he had all the dates correct chronologically, what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a pretty wild experience. You can send somebody back in time and you can make a lot of wild things happen. Actually, the thing I find the most interesting is the psychic potential under hypnosis, with the subconscious minds being able to talk to each other. You can actually read other people's subconscious minds when your subconscious mind is turned on.
Really?
That's what I think is the most interesting. I do this one bit where, the people on stage think that they're laugh police. So everybody, and the audience is laughing, and then they get more mad, and they start yelling at them. So what happens is, and it's an extremely funny bit, because obviously the more the crowd laughs at them, the more the cops on stage get agitated, and the more they start yelling at them, the more they start laughing, and it just keeps reciprocating back and forth, and it can go on all night. Right? So one time I get this guy on stage, and I go, who's the problem? He goes, it's Tony, Vinny, Charlie, Chuck, and he starts pointing at these guys in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying to myself, all right, that's obviously got to be his table. A lot of times they pick out the people in their group, and that's who they're singling out. So I just, the crowd laughs, it's all funny. So after the show, this woman comes up to me, she says, oh, that was a fabulous show, I thought it was hysterical. The only thing I don't realize is, how did that guy know all our names?
Oh.
Turns out this guy didn't know those people, yet he had everybody's name perfectly done.
Oh my goodness.
So from 20 feet away, he was able to read their minds in a split second and pick out and tell every person their name. And meanwhile, he didn't even know those people.
And then, wait, now, was this something you expected to happen during this bit? Or, I mean, was this a surprise for you?
Now, obviously, I mean, I've been doing this for like 30 years. So over the years, I've been doing a lot of my own studies and research and finding out how this stuff works and what other areas that it can bleed into.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that hypnosis is actually the cause of all this paranormal experience, is exactly what's causing most of this stuff. It all basically blends back into the subconscious mind, putting out these exact type of waves. Basically, the best way I can explain it is, in science class, you learn about the periodic table of elements, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have, hydrogen is the base element. It's basically what the entire universe is made up of. It's predominantly made up of that one power source. So if you look at the base element, which is hydrogen, water is, H2O,
mm-hmm.
So that's a very plentiful element and very important in the way the universe works.
Yeah.
But just like there's a periodic table of elements, there should be a periodic table of energy, but we haven't invented that yet. So what happens is, just because we haven't discovered it or invented it yet does not mean that it doesn't exist. 10,000 years ago, the cavemen didn't have electricity. That doesn't mean it didn't exist.
Exactly.
So what happens is, with the periodic table of energy, a lightning bolt is energy, just like energy, electricity coming out of a wall socket is energy, but they're different. So a thought impulse, an electrical charge coming from your brain, is the base form of energy. So basically, energy is to your thought process, as in hydrogen is to matter. So you got matter and energy, which the entire universe is made up of,
mm-hmm.
and basically your thought impulse is the basic form of energy. And once you start manipulating your thoughts, once you start manipulating your brain with the subconscious power, you can basically manifest anything to your life that you want.
Well, this sounds like, I mean, as far as the work that you do, Rich, it seems like, because, I mean, I had some friends when I mentioned, hey, I might be getting hypnotized on Drew and Mike on Thursday. They're like, well, you know, be careful, man. He might pull something off that you really love, like your music or something like that. And I thought about that for a second, and that's the possibility that some of these things could actually happen. I mean, I'm not saying that you would ever do anything like that, but that's a very powerful tool that you have, though, where you can pull these things out, and like you just said before, where you can pull the file out and put the file back real quick. If you were to, I mean, you know, there's been all types of spoofs in the past on this, too, I think, in TV shows and whatnot, where somebody gets hypnotized, and then, like, you know, if a little squirrely rabbit comes by, they totally freak out for some reason because they associate
with
something.
Or even the classic Office Space.
Oh,
where the guy's
right, like, exactly.
And yeah, he forgets that he really wants or needs his job, which, of course, leads to
a whole series of hilarious events, right?
Office Space.
Right,
yeah.
Office Space or even Shallow Hal, you know, when he thinks that now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could take the Manchurian Candidate, the exact same thing.
Yeah, I mean, things entail that, though, where, I mean, these people, I mean, there's an association there or there's something getting pulled out. One of the things I thought also was interesting, and I'm just going back to Thursday because I thought this was funny also. You convinced one of the people that they were Chinese. I wasn't in the studio at this time, but I was hearing it on the outside. And you convinced somebody that they were actually Chinese, if I was correct. And you told them that you wanted them to speak Chinese. Now, I wasn't there for that exactly. What were they saying? I mean, because these people couldn't speak Chinese, I'm very sure. Go ahead, Rich.
Either what they'll do is they'll speak their version of what they believe is Chinese, or if they heard anything in Chinese before or somebody say something in Chinese, they would actually be able to draw from that subconscious experience and now be able to speak it the exact same way.
Just like some word they may have heard in passing or something like that. They pull that file use it.
Exactly. Like they heard some people speaking in Chinese, you know, at a restaurant, or they saw a movie in Chinese with English subtitles. They would be able to draw from that and then speak that stuff.
See, that's probably what I would do. I'd be like reciting the whole menu from like Ling's Palace down the street. General Tao chicken. That's all I know, right?
Number two.
Yeah. Number three with fried rice. That's all I know.
Or maybe for this conversation, number seven.
Yeah, exactly.
Non-existent number seven.
Well, it was again. I mean, one of the. I'm just going back because I thought this stuff was amazing because I got to see this firsthand. That's what I thought, and it was so cool. One of the things that Rich actually did too, and I'm telling the audience, I'm telling the co-host here, I'm telling you also, Rich. Rich convinced one of the gentlemen that was under hypnosis that people with glasses smelled really bad.
I agree.
There was two.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I know. No.
Well, there was two of us. There was two of us that had glasses. There was a whole group of us out there, and there was two of us that had glasses. And everybody just kind of like looked over at me and this other guy, like, "You're gonna get it now." And sure enough, Rich brought him out, and we walked up to the gentleman. And we're like, "Hi, you know, I'm like, hi, I'm Scott. It's nice to meet you." And he literally just went, "Okay, that really smells bad. That's really gross." And I was blown away by it, Rich. I just couldn't believe that it was going. I mean, you actually had this person convinced that I stunk, which isn't a long shot, but
what happens is those sensory perceptions are actually a lot easier to do than the hallucinations. So that's like why it's one of the first experiments that I do. Usually, I do like sensory perceptions right out of the box, and then as they get a little deeper and stuff like that, then we start doing the hallucination type things.
Okay,
the smell one's very easy actually.
I was wondering also, and this is something I heard from around the studio as you were working on Thursday. You were hypnotizing people before they went on the air, right? And from what I understood, what I understood was that if you were actually to hypnotize people on the air, like live, and put them under, like,
right,
on the air, that could hypnotize.
You can't do that.
Yeah, could that? What I was told by somebody is that could actually hypnotize people that were driving their cars.
Exactly. One in ten is a natural somnambulist, which means that if I was just to snap my fingers a couple of times and send that energy out there, somebody could be driving their car, they could be hypnotized instantaneously, and all of a sudden, you know, who knows what could happen. Mm-hmm. I can see Ann sleep. I can fall asleep at the wheel, and next thing you know, he can, crash off the road.
Oh, yeah.
So that obviously, we obviously can't have that, people driving the streets, hypnotized. So I would do the main induction off air, mm-hmm, and then, take them out, and then I could do, like, a simple trigger word, put them back into hypnosis instantaneously.
Yeah, and that's what Rich was doing. I'm talking to you, Doug. That's what he was doing. He was telling these people, you know, putting them under before they went on the air. And, you can go back. I think there's an archive somewhere, and it was just fascinating. Go ahead, Doug.
So what are these folks that you said there's a line out the door and down the building, practically, of...
Yeah, you're sitting in front of the club right now as we speak,
folks,
Rich,
who are going to see you in your show tonight. What they're all probably pretty excited, you know. Oh, my husband's finally taking me out on a date, you know. The kids are with grandma, you know. And then there's probably the kids who, oh, nobody can hypnotize me.
Well,
this
I don't
is
know.
So silly
well,
for me.
Okay.
And you know, but you're going to get a huge variety of people there. What can they expect to see tonight?
Tonight tonight's the really wild, you know, crazy out there show. Mm. So tonight, anything goes. It's my last night in town, so I pull all the stops down. I want to, really stamp it home and give them something to remember. So tonight is going to be, it's going to shoot the gamut. They're going to be everywhere from, becoming, Chinese rappers all the way down to, exotic dancers at the end. Exotic dance routine at the end.
That is awesome.
What would they? Rich had one of the young lady convinced that she was a Playboy model, a centerfold model, on Thursday.
Wow!
I have a picture to prove it too, as a matter of fact. not like bad or anything like that.
Oh,
but
yeah,
she was posing
yeah.
for the camera and stuff like that.
Actually, if you want to see some really cool videos of the show,
mm-hmm.
you can go to my MySpace page. It's www.myspace.com/RichGuzzi.
And that's two Z's. That's RichGuzzi. Okay.
I have a video. I have a video on there of one of my my real racy shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have a video of me. I hypnotized one of those Ultimate Fighting guys, those cage fighters.
Oh no.
And I hypnotized. It was up in Alaska, so it was 40 below zero. And I sent him outside, and I told him that this snowdrift was, he was swimming with the dolphins in Hawaii. So he strips down to his underwear, so I was swimming in this snowdrift, doing the backstroke, and he's having a great time swimming with the dolphins. He was 40 below zero outside.
Oh,
then,
wow.
Then there's a tree. I told him the tree was Pamela Anderson. He starts dry humping the tree. I told him, you love that. You know, obviously, you got the tree branches where, at the Y. And I said, and all of a sudden, he just starts chewing on that bark. And he started going down on that bark.
That is hilarious.
See, Bonnie, this is why when we were sitting at dinner on Thursday night, I said, I'm a little nervous about going to the studio now because I saw some of these videos that you're talking about, Rich. Rich, we'd wise guys in Novi, Michigan, for our local people out there. If you got nothing going on tonight,
well, I heard it sold out, so I don't know.
It actually sold out the first night.
Oh my god!
So what we have to do is we have to lobby, to get Rich back here to the Detroit area.
You'll be coming back, won't you, Rich?
We'll probably be coming back sometime in November. But if you want more information, you can go to discoverthepower.net,
mm-hmm.
and it's got all the information about hypnosis, all the information about my show. That's actually the best site. And on there, I have what I call a virtual life planner, which means it's something I developed. Took me 4 years to make it, and you can design the exact dream life you wish you always had. Okay, and you put it all on the page, mm-hmm. and then the website interacts with you and shows you how to get from point A to point B.
Oh, how
it's
neat!
It's really awesome. It's got all my hypnotic programs on there. It's got some cool videos. And it shows people how to use their subconscious mind to get anything they want. And you can really do anything with this. Once you learn how to harness the power of hypnosis, you can basically make anything in your life a reality. That's how powerful this stuff is. And I just want to bring awareness to the public. And that's why I built this website. I originally built it for myself. I had read all these self-help books, and I wanted to really keep myself motivated, and I wanted to be able to retain all this information.
Mm-hmm.
And after it was all done, I'm like, man, you know what? This is too good to keep for just me. I mean, everybody should have this. And I just started giving it out to other people. I made it all for free for everybody.
Well, Rich, we want to wish you a good show tonight. I wish we could be there, but we'll be broadcasting.
I know, we have to broadcast till 9.
We're broadcasting till 9. Rich, I want to thank you for coming on the show. It's such a short notice, also. You agreed to do this yesterday.
not a problem. You guys do a great show. I mean, I could talk about this stuff endlessly. So, this is my life. I love to do it. And I just want to get people, you know, out there understanding how this, you know, how this can change their lives. It can make them, you know, do anything they want. You know, it's never too late. I tell people for an hour a day, do what you love to do, and you'll get it. You know, the universe will give you exactly what you want.
Push your people to get you back here in Detroit in November, and we'll bring you here. We'll bring you in the studio.
Yeah, we'll chat.
I definitely want to come in studio and stuff. You know, so yeah,
that would be awesome.
Go to discoverthepower.net. And you know, just join up on the mailing list, and you'll know when I'm coming back in town.
Excellent.
Hang on the line for one more second. Don't leave us just yet, Rich. We're just going to go to break.
So, coming up, Rich Guzzi.
That's awesome. Rich Guzzi.
DiscoverThePower.net. Thank you so much.
Coming up is
Joey Ward, WGPRS. So we'll be talking about Arkansas. Is that Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
Georgia stuff, which of course includes Savannah, Georgia, one of my top three most haunted spots in the country. So that's coming up next. Until then, I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back.
Scott L. I just want to thank you for this sweet Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash in my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Ghostly Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1¼-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1¼-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
seeking the darker side of paranormal talk radio? Look no further. Go to Live365.com and search the Paranormal Radio Show. Hosted by Tommy Golden. Sponsored by the Tennessee Ghost Chasers. And search the Paranormal Radio Show talks about all things on the dark side of paranormal. So tune in live on Thursdays and Fridays from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. Central Time Zone.
Wow, I keep shaking this ball and all I get is the number 8. Where's the snow? I told my psychic I wanted to know if I was going to win the lottery, and she asked me for the numbers. The death card keeps showing up in this deck. Maybe I should get a reflector on my scooter. I keep dreaming about frogs leaping into my bed. This book says I'm just horny. Having a bad day at the Wheel of Fortune? KarmaCast has answers. Check out KarmaCast.com for show listings and times. KarmaCast.com is a division of Mayhem Media.
A local county official, and in his alternate reality, he's a paranormal investigator and the director of the West Georgia Paranormal Research Society, a group dedicated to paranormal studies. The website is www.wgprs.com. Ghostly Talk would like to welcome Joey Ward. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, guys.
How you doing, Joey? Lot going on here. We've been kind of busy tonight. we've had one guest after another coming on tonight, and it's really good to have you on. Also, I have to admit something. Joey kind of was very flexible, and I want to thank him in public for this, because I kind of went back and forth, because we had Rich drop on the show like last minute, and Joey was supposed to go from 7 to 8, and he actually gave us that extra half an hour we needed to get Rich on. So thanks, Joey, for being flexible with us. We appreciate that.
Oh, no problem.
Joey, you're the founder of the West Georgia Paranormal Research Society, correct?
That's correct. We've been together since December of 2005. Just kind of a group of people from different walks of life who probably been doing this anywhere from 5 to 10 years, and finally just came together under one banner.
And that's what seems like is happening. You know, Amber and I were talking about that today. As far as ghost hunting groups are concerned, there's a lot of groups out there now, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of talking about our predictions for the next couple of years or something. And we think that a lot of these groups are going to kind of like condense down into smaller groups. Well, not smaller groups, but, they'll start going, I don't want to say getting eaten up by bigger groups, but I think they're going to all start joining forces and stuff like that. So, the pool of resources and things like that. That's kind of like what you guys did. Am I correct, Joey?
Right. I agree. In the last couple of years, you've seen a lot more groups pop up, and what's going to happen, the members of some groups that are going to stick with it are going to hang around, other people are going to kind of fall by the wayside, and more established groups are going to pick up those loose ends or establish chapters in other areas. So it's going to be kind of like a lot of other things. The number of groups will probably drop off because of merges and just the wave. Just like anything else, things kind of pick up and go down, and I think in a year or two that the tried and true investigators will still be here, but a lot of the groups will be gone.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but I think the people that, like we've been saying for a long time here, the people that really, really care and really love this field, they're going to still be here. They're going to still be part of it. They're going to be part of this thing, and they'll end up just becoming part of larger groups and things like that. So that's what we have to look forward to, I think, in the future. You guys, you know, Doug actually mentioned before break. I'm going to give the floor to you here in a second, Doug. Georgia, obviously, the main city. Doug, you know what? I'm
well,
going to shut
that's
up.
The
it's
thing.
All you. It's all you.
That's the thing, Joey. I know it's not in western Georgia. But one of my top three has got to be Savannah, and I've never visited Savannah, Georgia. I did indeed visit, Kennesaw Mountain in just outside of Atlanta, of course,
right.
and I guess I stayed at a haunted Red Roof Inn while there. but I just wonder. I mean, what's it like? Have you made sojourns out to Savannah? Or have you not needed to? Is there plenty to do in western Georgia?
We stay pretty busy, you know, in this general area, but we do make some trips out to Savannah. Of course, Ghost Doc is, you know, the convention that we have locally here twice a year. It's held in Savannah. So we generally, when we go down to that, there's going to be, you know, half a dozen, well, more like a dozen planned investigations. We have, you know, around 150 people that show up, and we have some people who are really good at coordinating and planning investigations. So when everybody comes together from different states, we'll have planned investigations over two different nights in, you know, a lot of different places. Some of the places that you've probably heard of in Savannah, the Pink House,
mm-hmm.
Matthew's Bakery, Moon River, the Lighthouse on Tybee Island, places like that. So we've investigated several times during those conventions. It is about a four-hour drive from where we are, so it's a little harder to plan trips out there, but we try to make the best of it when we're there for conventions.
Well, I don't know. 4 hours sounds like an easy drive for me. We go to a lot of conventions. Speaking of conventions, you actually speak at conventions and things like that. And so I'm wondering what's coming up on your calendar.
You mentioned Ghost Stock, actually.
Well, Ghost Stock, of course, yeah.
Yeah, I've been attending Ghost Talk since the second one. This one coming up, I think, will be number five. And I actually spoke at the last convention. I'm still a little bit up in the air about whether or not I'm actually going to make it to this one. I've gotten a lot busier since the last one. And our group responsibilities, things like that, our schedule, our plate's gotten a little more full. So it's still a little up in the air if I'm actually going to make it to the next one, which is the end of October.
Yeah, it's the same weekend as, the Chicago Ghost Conference that we're going to be going to, along with the 11th Annual Spooktacular conference, Troy Taylor's conference. So it's like, I saw there's three conferences going on that weekend throughout the country. It's like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Halloween is, the good side to Halloween is that we do get more press coverage, media coverage around that time of the year, but the downside, I guess, to me, is that the media and the public equates what we do with Halloween, and I don't particularly care for that, but that is the time of the year that TV stations, newspapers, and, you know, things like that, when they're active and they're actually looking into things, you know, that we do.
Well, yeah, and you're right.
I've noticed that, too. However, mm-hmm. Ghostly Talk is here for you year-round.
Yeah, we're here all the time, man. No, I have to agree with Joey on that too. During that time of year, yeah, of course we do. We all are pretty busy. I know, especially all of us in the media and stuff. We're very busy and stuff like that. But you got to be careful. And we've had a lot of groups come on the show and be like, yeah, you know, we did this thing on the radio for Halloween for these people, and we thought it was going to be something like really cool, and we were going to show them what we're doing here and things like that. But it ended up turning into this big spectacle where we ended up feeling like fools at the end of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a frustrating thing, you know. But you know, it's a matter, I think, to what I tell people is choose them wisely. You know what you're walking into. Be very careful of that. And a lot of groups out there, I think they're doing better now, but for a while there, it was really bad. People seem to be always complaining about that. So we know your pain, Joey.
Yeah, you just, like you said, you have to pick and choose very carefully and make sure that the people you're dealing with, whether it's media or otherwise, make sure that you're on the same page as to, you know, what you do and what they expect. And, I'm sure there are cases where groups have been offered opportunities and you know, truthfully, they probably would have or should have turned them down. Those kind of things where you just know going in that you're really not going to be portrayed in the right way.
Well, yeah, even we've been put in those situations, too. I mean, we've I think Doug and I we're pretty good at pulling ourselves out of them pretty quick, but we've had to deal with it a couple of times.
Well, I think you and I just start talking to each other and ignoring everybody at that point when that happens. But Ghost Stock, tell me about Ghost Stock.
The ones you've been to,
and how is it work? Because I've only been able to read about Ghost Stock. I've never been to it. And what? Tell me all about Ghost Stock.
Well, it's probably similar in a lot of ways to most other conventions as far as, you know, we have people come in from all over the country, sometimes even from out of the country. Generally, you know, around 150 people, we'll meet for 2 or 3 days. We usually have a couple of days of guest speakers who will, you know, talk on different topics anywhere from ghost hunting 101 to, you know, methods of securing investigations. I usually talk on the more controversial topics, I guess, motivational speaking, that sort of thing, how to hold a group together, how to get past personal differences, you know, differences in religion, things like that quite often can pull a group apart if you're not careful.
Mm-hmm.
I speak on a blending of religion and science, and that's one of the things that I'm a firm believer in, is that religion and science don't have to be in opposition to each other. That they can actually, to some degree, explain each other or corroborate. So that one usually goes over pretty well at conventions. And then by pretty well, I mean it usually brings up a lot of heated discussion.
Oh, yeah. The one thing I was thinking of, actually, when you mentioned that, you know, religion and science can actually work together, is I remember there was, and I've been trying to find this in my dad's basement for like 5 years now, because I've wanted to read some of it on the air. There was an article in Popular Mechanics where they actually went back and they tried to explain the mysteries of the Bible, like a lot of these huge things that happened in the Bible, like the parting of the Red Sea Jesus making, you know, a couple of loaves of bread and a couple of fish to feed the thousands of people and things like that. They tried to actually scientifically explain these things and try to put them into zeros and ones, more or less. It was a fascinating article, and I've been trying to find this thing forever. But it really kind of put a lot of stuff into perspective, too. So I really kind of identify with this idea where religion and science, they can kind of work together, Joey.
Yeah, I mean, it's people, I think, whether you're a theologian or, you know, a religious person, or whether you're a paranormal person, you know, whatever you may be, I think people generally tend to take things too literally. If the Bible says something a certain way, then that's the way it is. If science says that something happens a certain way, then that's the way it is. But you know, it's very easy to accept both and say, well, if, you know, God created the heavens and the earth in so many days, why can't science just explain how he did it in a scientific manner? It doesn't mean that science disputes that it was done, just that it was done in this manner. But people tend to go, you know, one side of the fence or the other.
And when you're at Ghost Stock and you've given a speech and things like that, obviously, you know, the motivational speaking, the bringing the group together and trying to keep a group cohesive, that's something that needs to happen, I think, a lot more, because it's not always, you know, what, sunshine and bubbles? Is that it, Bonnie?
Yes.
It's not always sunshine and bubbles in a group, any given group, even amongst friends. I mean, sometimes people just get on each other's nerves. So what I'm wondering is, after that kind of speech, have you noticed a progression of people you know, putting your tips and tricks and things like that into practice and really getting along and being able to get their research done and their investigations completed? And have you noticed a progression toward the positive because of these speeches?
Well, from a personal standpoint, I don't know that I'm making that much of an effect on the paranormal community. I hope that, you know, things like this catch on, that the things that I do, you know, working for unity rather than, you know, dissension, competition, fighting with territory, and things like that. You know, it's going to take more than one person here and there. It's going to take a lot of people to pick up the banner and run with it and say, you know, this is the way things should be. petty differences, things like that should be left, you know, outside of the community. When you come together as a group and investigate, it's not, you know, it's not about whether you're religious or not religious. It's not about whether you're an atheist, a Wiccan, a Baptist, or whatever. And, you know, and I've dealt with all. I have, you know, some variety of religious beliefs within my own group, and I've worked with quite a few people in other areas, such as Wiccans, you know, pagans. And to me, what your religious beliefs are, you know, totally yours. When the group comes together to investigate, it's not about that. It's about being a paranormal investigator. So it works the same way as a job. You go to the job, you clock in, you do the work, you clock out, you go home. Of course, we don't get paid, but on the job, it really doesn't matter what religion. It's not going to affect your production or whatever. The problem is that looks good on paper, and to some people it makes perfectly good sense, but to others, they just can't get past those, you know, those personal differences. Some issue comes up, discussion gets started, and then it snowballs.
True.
Yeah, very true.
On a different topic, Georgia brings to mind, you know, the great plantations, the South,
oh,
the hospitality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Up here, we're more like industrial,
angry, coffee drinking, killing people.
Yeah. So, how does that work?
Coffee.
Yo, you do? Good.
Okay.
Good. All right. Well, you're coming up there.
Yeah.
What does it, do you have any unique challenges, or is it easier to investigate places because of being in the South?
Well, like you said, there is a difference here in the types of investigations. For myself and on our group, we deal more with probably, at least in the last 6 months, so residential hauntings, you know, private residences, things like that. We do businesses. But it seems that things are geared a little differently down here. And the problem that we run into in the South is, of course, it's still the Bible Belt.
Mm.
So you're going to run into people who are, you know, just 100% against what we do. And for most people, I think it's because they don't understand what we do. They equate this with something satanic or evil. And, you know, in fact, we're very firm believers in our group that certain things that we don't mess with, you know, Ouija boards, tarot cards. We don't touch any of those things.
Okay.
We try to keep it as scientific as possible. We do have sensitives in our group, and we do rely on their feelings, their intuitions, you know, their communications with whatever might be there. So we blend the two together. But as a whole, we do stay away from those things that we don't feel comfortable with, and the things that most people who are very religious, I guess, would look at as being instruments of evil.
Very, very wise choice of action.
Yeah.
Only like 5 minutes left.
Unfortunately.
Joyce. So what I'm wondering is, one of your I want an example. What would be one of your favorite haunts or favorite investigations that you've been on, and why?
Well, the most interesting for me was at the lighthouse in Savannah on Tybee Island. That was the my only full-bodied apparition that I've experienced since I've been in this, like the lightkeeper. You know, to the best of our knowledge, it was a lightkeeper. I was able to give a description of the last lightkeeper, you know, physical description, height, build, clothes, and it was very similar to a picture that I was shown of him after the fact.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, one of those things that, you know, caught him in the flash of the camera. We weren't, of course, not able to get him on film or anything like that, and basically I was the only one to see him. So it's, you know, it's my personal tag that I walk around and tell people about, but of course I have no way to prove it. But it definitely, you know, struck a note with me, because once you see a full-bodied apparition, or you have an audible voice phenomenon, something like that, it just seems to take your level of curiosity takes you to the next level, makes you that much more committed to stay with it.
And do you think he's hanging around to keep the lighthouse lit, that, you know, the old romantic thing, or is he just angry and still here?
No, I don't think we sense that there was any anger involved. I think he's just around, you know, doing his same duties. The lighthouse has actually been controlled by the Coast Guard since the 40s, and, you know, it's computerized now. Everything is handled by the computer, so there's not actually a light keeper. There's a museum and they have tours and it's maintained. But I think he's just hanging around, still doing what he always got up and did every day.
And, you know, you brought up lighthouses, and I always have that. We talked about this with somebody last weekend, or something like that. We were discussing this, and it seems like every light, and I'm not saying this in a condescending manner at all, but it seems like every lighthouse that I've come across personally, Joey, they have some type of haunting story attached to them. What do you think it is that, I mean, now Doug said, you know, are they angry or whatever? I mean, why are there so many stories of lighthouses, though, when it comes to hauntings? I mean, I'm just wondering what you think about that, Joey.
I think with lighthouses, it's more the mystique behind it. You know, the idea that there's this lone building, you know, out on an island or out on a rocky coast, and, you know, through whatever type of weather, the light continues to shine out into the ocean. It's more just the mystique or the idea of the type of light that people associated with the light keepers who had to stay there through storms and whatever most of the time by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the lighthouses maybe really aren't haunted, just natural sounds, you know, things associated with a building that's stood for hundreds of years and has gone through a lot during its time. But I think it's just a mistake people equate with the loneliness, you know, that would come along with being a lightkeeper.
Well, there's a lot of that. There's you know, the mystique, the loneliness, the isolation.
Uh-huh.
There's also the sense of duty,
uh-huh,
because that lightkeeper and his family had to have that light lit every night. And if they didn't, people could die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's the sense of duty. There's also the stairs.
Well, I think
I mean, the
stairs.
Remember,
and I know this for a fact.
And as a matter of fact, Joey. The classic, the absolute classic haunting, staircase haunting, is, you know, like two lovers at the top of a stairs either have a quarrel and one falls down. The brown lady out. But a lot of them are even from the plantation houses down south. The one from the, I can't remember the name of the hotel offhand. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank, but there's a hotel with a staircase and the quarreling lovers.
Well, I think it's safe to say now that I am the only person, or me and my girlfriend are the only two people on the planet that have actually been to a lighthouse that was not haunted.
Oh, good job.
I told you about that a couple weeks ago. And we were like, okay, what's the haunting story here attached to? What's the ghost story? And they're like, we don't know of any. And we're like, what? What are you talking about? It's a lighthouse.
Oh, this lighthouse sucks. I want a new one.
Joey, we need to thank you for coming on the show. We really enjoyed talking to you.
Oh, thanks. I enjoyed it.
Your group, of course, is the West Georgia Paranormal Research Society, and more information can be found at wgprs.com. And also, they're supporters, of course, of Ghost Doc, something that I have been dying
to get down there one of these years
and have not been to yet, but it's on my list of things to do. Thank you so much, Joey.
Hang on the line for 1 second, Joey, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, man. The marathon continues.
The marathon continues. Yeah, coming up, David Farkas. So we'll be talking to him about clearing houses.
Just talked to him a couple minutes ago when we were on the air. I had him on the cell phone, and he's ready to go. So.
All right. Sounds good to me.
So David Farkas on the other side of this break. We'll be right back.